If secret police investigations of spies and the files they created were often nothing more than tautological exercises which sustained official ideologies of ubiquitous enemies even as they protected the careers of individual policemen, provincial Communist Party personnel were likewise forced to operate within the constraints of Stalinist terror. Police and party cadres alike were blinded by the myopia of omnipresent conspiracy, a pathological search for enemies that ultimately undermined Soviet internal and external security. Yes, I understand. This was, after all, totalitarian Russia. Why should we have any reason to believe that potential spies would be treated so badly in Western democratic societies with our rights of habeas corpus and bills of rights? Well, actually, as the last decade of revelations regarding the suspension of habeas corpus for suspected terrorists, the regular practice of extraordinary rendition, or the transfer of an enemy to another state for harsh interrogation in order to avoid legal issues at home, the regular use of torture in national security cases, etc. We have long known, for instance, that in its war against communism in Southeast Asia, that the United States Central Intelligence Agency regularly practiced the application of quote-unquote harsh methods in interrogation. In 1997, the Baltimore Sun newspaper successfully used the Freedom of Information Act to force the release of the now notorious Kubark Counterintelligence Interrogation, the CIA's manual on coercive questioning. Section 9 of the manual dealt with coercive counterintelligence interrogation of resistance sources. Section B was titled The Theory of Coercion. According to that manual for U.S. interrogators, and now I'm quoting, coercive procedures are designed not only to exploit the resistant source's internal conflicts and induce him to wrestle with himself, but also to bring a superior outside force to bear upon the subject's resistance. All coercive techniques are designed to induce regression. As Hinkle notes in the physiological state of the interrogation subject as it affects brain function, the result of external pressures of sufficient intensity is the loss of those defenses most recently acquired by civilized man. The capacity to carry out the highest creative activities, to meet new, challenging, and complex situations, to deal with trying interpersonal relations, and to cope with repeated frustrations. Relatively small degrees of homeostatic derangement, continues the Kubark manual, fatigue, pain, sleep loss, or anxiety may impair these functions. As a result, most people who are exposed to coercive procedures will talk and usually reveal some information that they might not have revealed otherwise. Farber says that the response to coercion typically contains at least three important elements: debility, dependency, and dread. The following are the principal coercive techniques of interrogation outlined in the Kubark manual: arrest, detention, deprivation of sensory stimuli through solitary confinement or similar methods, threats and fear, debility, pain, heightened suggestibility and hypnosis, narcosis, and induced regression.